and into 22 different groups. And we know that song very well. What I want you to look at is the ones that come right after that. Turn to the 120th. Depending on where you are in the 119th, you may have to turn two or three pages. But turn to the 120th Psalm. Here's something we might not see as often. We know about the long one and the big one. When you get to the 120th Psalm, there is a series of Psalms that are very, very short. The 120th through the 134th Psalm are all called Psalms of Ascent. If you look there, you'll see that underneath every one of them. Psalm 120, a song of ascent. The old King James calls it songs of degrees. 121st Psalm, song of degree. 122nd Psalm, a psalm of ascent of David. And it off it goes. They are all very, very short, and they are all lumped together. This is what the song of ascent was. They were very specialized songs that were only sung on two events. These are the songs that were sung as Jews made their way to Jerusalem for the feast days. You remember the three feasts that Jews had to be at. There was the Feast of Passover. 50 days later, there was Pentecost. And then in the fall, they had the Feast of Tabernacles. And had you and I been a Jew alive then, we would have been faithful to that. And we would have made our way toward the temple. You're familiar with how when it talks about Jerusalem, it talks about people walking up to Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is sometimes men and women were in Galilee, which was north, and it says that they were walking up to Jerusalem. When it's talking about going up to Jerusalem, was it talking about geography? Was it talking about north or south? It was talking about elevation. And that's what these songs were about. They were songs of elevation. As you and I made our way to Jerusalem, these are the songs we would have sung. You can see how short they are. I can imagine that probably they were memorized. We have some short songs in our book. We have some songs that are one verse songs. And me and you could break out into them at the drop of a hat. There are other songs that might be one or two verses. And we know them very, very well. These were some of those songs. They sang them, number one, as they made their way toward Jerusalem for the feast day. And if I understand it right, they would also sing them as they began climbing the steps to the temple itself. And so they sing them traveling to the feast. And then when they get to Jerusalem, as they make their way to the tabernacle, they sing them again, right? To the temple, rather. They sing them as they worked their way up toward it. Songs of ascent. Songs of degrees. We're familiar with that. In our songbooks, we have songs that are very, very specialized to the point that we only sing them prior to the Lord's Supper. There are songs that are specialized to the point that we only sing them during the invitation. We even call them invitation songs. Even some of those are very specific. Oh, why not tonight? That's not just an invitation song. That's an invitation song so specific, it only gets sung at the PM service. And so we are familiar with specialized songs. And that's what these were. What I want us to do today is to look at one of them. The 121st Psalm, a psalm of ascent. Let's try to break this down. If you can imagine singing these songs as we walk towards Zion, as we're singing of comfort, singing of encouragement, singing of deliverance, psalms that are keeping our eyes ahead. 121st Psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor a moon by night. The Lord will preserve thee from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And we would have sang that song as we made our way to the feast. We would have sang that song as we made our way to the temple. What can we learn from it? What can we learn from this song of ascent that can help us today? Let's try to break it down in some applications. hills. In verse 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. What in the world is that talking about? I'm looking to the hills. What is the symbol of that? Because here's what it's not talking about. When we talk about going to the hills, when we talk about going to the mountains, we're not talking about this, are we? When you and I talk about going to the mountains, we're talking about foliage. We're talking about Gatlinburg when it's orange here and purple there and it blends over these deep red. We're talking about color. We're talking about vacation. We're talking about beauty. That's not what this psalmist is talking about. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Before we talk about the symbolism, let's talk about the literalness. Just wrote down a couple of examples. Some of the greatest events in Jewish history happened at places of elevation. Here are some of them. Mount Ararat, you remember what that was? If this was a Bible class, I would say, tell me what happened here. What happened at Mount Ararat in Genesis chapter 8? That's where the ark came to rest. As the waters receded and as Noah and his household had been saved by water. Genesis 22, do you know where we are? Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham had raised up that knife to bring it down upon his son Isaac. And God said, now I know. Exodus chapter 19, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. We get that one right. That was where the law was given. Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18, when Elijah took on 850 prophets of Baal. One of the greatest events of the Old Testament. Mount Hermon, Mark chapter 9. You remember that one? Even in the New Testament, these places of elevation came into play. Mark 9, Mount Hermon, that's where the transfiguration took place. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Mount Calvary. We're familiar with this. And there are other times. During the days of David, many times David ran to the hills for protection, for refuge, for safety. How many times do these hills literally come into play? But that's not what the psalmist is talking about either. He's not talking about this physical things. He's talking symbolically. I will lift my eyes up to the hills. What is he talking about? He's talking about the presence of God. I'm lifting my eyes up. I want something beyond here. I'm looking for something greater than here. How do we know that? What did he say? I lift my eyes up to the hills. And then there's a question mark. Where will my help come from? It's not going to come down here. His eyes are in a different plane. I lift my eyes up to the hills because I need help. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift my eyes up. Why? Because I need help. And if I lift my eyes to God, if I lift my eyes up to heavenly Zion, can you imagine singing this psalm as you were making your way to the physical, earthly Zion? I need help. And where will my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Verse 2, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist is talking of God's power. It's as if he just kicks himself. He says, you know, I need something. I need help. And God made all of this. If all of this is within His power, if He made heaven and earth, my problems are not too big for Him. That's the point that's being made. If God made heaven and earth, He can help me. If making and creating everything is within His realm, there's nothing He can't do for me. Verse 3, He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He keeps thee. He that keeps you will not slumber. Now we're talking about not just the power of God in verse 2. His power is represented by the fact that He made everything. What the psalmist is now saying is, He always has time for me. Take a break for a minute. Has something ever happened to you? And maybe it's one of those nights, and you're just tossing and turning. And things are just beating on you, and you can't rest, you can't think, and you just want to talk to somebody. But it's 3:00 in the morning. And you just kind of bite your tongue. And you just kind of roll over a little bit more. And you just flip a little more. And you might just get up and just sit in the... and you just kind of watch the clock. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you're just watching the clock, waiting to be able to call somebody? You know they're not home from work yet. You know that they're not up yet. You know that you're just waiting. The point in verse 2 is, God can help me. He made heaven and earth. He has the power. Verse 3, God can help me because He's always aware. He's always available. We don't have to wait. We don't have to watch the clock. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying. I'm looking to the hills. I'm looking above. That's where God is. That's where my help is. That's where power is. That's where care and concern for me is. It's an indication of His power and awareness. Now drop down to verse 8. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You ever had a term life policy? Maybe you were protected somewhat from death, at least for the family anyway. But that policy is out. Oh, the time frame's gone. The 10 years is up, the 20 years is up, and the coverage is gone. Verse 2, powerful help. Verse 3, awareness at all times. Verse 8, there's no time frame on it. There's no limitations upon it. That's the help that the psalmist is looking for when he puts his eyes above. I want us to do something. Take your psalm books out and look at number 234. You and I have a song of ascent. We might not think about it. We might not look at it as much. We might not have even known that songs of ascent existed. The 120th to the 134th psalm may have just kind of passed over us and we didn't recognize them. But we sing about these things. Higher ground. Verse 1. Says, I'm pressing the upward way. That's a paraphrase of the psalmist saying, I'm lifting my eyes to the hills. New heights. Verse 1. Onward bounding, continuing upward. This is a song of ascent, of where our aim is trying to be. Sing the first verse with me. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's a song of ascent, whether we knew it or not. That's where we're striving to be. For that to happen, looking to the hills means we have to look up. Our eyesight has to change, the elevation of it. We're in this world. And because we're in this world, we're subject to its influences. Because we're in this world, we are subject to powerful interests that are trying to jerk our head down. Have you ever taken a dog out on a leash and gets a smell of something and we're trying to go over here, but the dog has his other intentions and he's over there, and so we've got this leash and we're just trying to pull him and we're jerking and he's just pulling his neck. That's kind of Satan's aim. That's his goal for us. We sing about onward bounding. We sing about higher ground. And yet there are things down here, unlike the dog, where we're trying to go from the left to the right. We're trying to look up. And we're trying to look to the hills. And yet there are things just constantly pulling our eyes down. Pulling our head back down. It reminds me of a summer day. Have you ever been out in the summer and you look up and it just almost hurts to look up. And so we pull the hat down, or we put our hand over our eyes, or maybe we put sunglasses on because looking up hurts and we just kind of drop our eyes again. There's Satan's goal for us. To pull our eyes down away from where our intention, away from the hills that we sing about and claim to be working toward. We're familiar with worldliness. We know all the terrible aspects of worldliness. But even the best that this world has to offer, things that in and of themselves are not unrighteous. Think about our families. Think about the love that exists among families and the life that we have. Those aren't evil. But even that can take our eyes off of what we sang we were trying to get to. Heard a man describe it one time as respectable worldliness. If we had a man over here who was kind of in and out, and it's because he puts other things before the Lord, and he's engaged in things that are just sinful, and we say, that's worldliness. And then you got somebody over here. School gets in their way. Family reunions get in their way. Job gets in the way. And we look at this person over here who's here maybe a third of the time, and we kind of cut slack. We kind of think, well, he has excuses. Respectable worldliness. There are things that may be pulling our eyes down. There are things that may be taking us away from God, and we kind of overlook it even in our own life because, you know, I'm not going to the bar. That's worldliness. I'm not engaged in immorality. That's worldliness. No, we're just doing other stuff. And it puts God about 15th on the list. And we just kind of let that stuff hang around in our life. Because after all, you know, it's respectable. Nobody's going to look down on me because of this. And yet we're singing about higher ground, when most of the time our eyes are on lower ground. Choices that we make. Look in Colossians chapter 3. If our eyes are down, and we're talking about the symbolic of that, what we're going to see is self. What we're going to see are things. What we're going to see is a bunch of stuff. Stuff that we like. Stuff that we enjoy. But they offer a lot less than what those hills do. Colossians chapter 3. This seems to be Paul saying the same thing that the psalmist did. Here's Paul trying to tell them, look to the hills. Colossians 3, look in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, so let's stop right there. Who's he talking to? Romans chapter 6 talks about those who have been baptized, buried with Christ, rising to walk in newness of life. If you've been risen with Christ, you're a Christian. He's talking to saints. What did you tell them? If you have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. What do you tell them? Look to the hills. Get your eyes off of this stuff down here. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Verse 1, seek the things above. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. How can we do that? Verse 4, it's because Christ is our life. Now what does that tell us? Might not make us feel very well. But the truth is, if we're not seeking things above, if we're not, verse 2, setting our mind on things above, the simple truth is, verse 4, Christ really is in our life. We dress up a couple times a week. We come together, and we can say the right things, and we can do the right things, but Christ really is in our life. Not as long as those yanks are just pulling our head down and trying to get our eyes on other things. This is the song. That's the song of ascent. By looking up, we'll think more about God. By looking up, our faith will grow. By getting our eyes to the hills, we'll think more about those great promises that's been offered to us. By looking up, salvation becomes front and center in our life. Christ, verse 4, truly does become our life. We've got work to do. Let's just be honest about that. Our eyes are down a lot lower, a lot more often than probably we would even want to admit. And yet we sing verse 2, number 234 quite often, don't we? Look at the second verse. It's singing about these pools. We've got to make sure we're not looking any lower than God intends for us to look. Look at the second verse of number 234. My heart has no desire to stay here. Why not? Because that's not where my heart is. My mind, my affections, is on things above. Remember verse 2? That's why we can say, I don't desire to stay here. We sing it. The last phrase of verse 2, my prayer, my aim is something better than this. My goal, my desire is better than all this stuff that's yanking my head down. That's what we're singing in verse 2. We're singing about looking up beyond these things. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Awful easy to sing. Not so easy to do. Get our eyes up. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We sing higher ground. Not because it sounds good. Not because it's one of those we can just drop off and just go. The aim is to get there. Those psalms of ascent were sung in anticipation of getting to the feast. The psalms of ascent were sung in anticipation of getting to the temple. And when we sing about higher ground, we're singing with anticipation of getting there, of heaven, of all the wonderful things and all the descriptions that we have of that. But that's where God is. That's where His presence is. That's where an eternal state of worship and praise is going to be. And the aim is to get there. The goal is to make it a reality. And for that to be true, we've got to remove some hindrances. Hebrews chapter 12. You remember where we are. This is one of those chapter breaks that might disturb the thought a little bit. Chapter 11 is that hall of fame we talk about. By faith Abel did this, and by faith Enoch did this, and by faith... And off we go. A long list of people of faith who went through the struggles, who went through the trials, and they endured to the end. They saw the hills. And they got to the higher ground. And then in verse 1, that same group, that's the cloud that's being talked about. Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so great a group of people that showed us it's possible to live faithfully, even to death. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The goal is to get to higher ground. And there are people showing us that it's possible. Take a physical example for a minute. Within this month, before this month is out, the Boston Marathon will be run. It's run on what they call Founders Day. There'll be over 20,000 people who engage in that race. 20,000 witnesses that prove to me that if you exercise and that if you eat right with the proper nutrition, the proper this and the proper that, the human body can run over 26 miles without stopping. Now, can your body do that? This room's full of people who cannot do that. Not because it can't be done. I can't do it because I've not undergone that effort. I can't do what's going to happen this month because I have not trained my body well. I have not eaten as good as I need to. I've not exercised to the point that I could do that. But there's going to be 20,000 witnesses that prove that you can. That's what the Hebrew writer's saying. We get so bogged down in our life, and we look at ourselves, we get our eyes off of the hills, and we put them down, and what we see is trouble, and pain and family issues and discouragement and disappointment and health and money and job. And we see all this stuff and we get to the point where we may think, you know, I can't make it. I can't do it. There's a cloud of witnesses that prove that we can. Now here's the catch. Just like the marathoner has to do things to make it possible, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now what do we do about that? We lay aside every weight and sin that besets us. We cannot look to the hills. We cannot run to the hills with sin. Can't make it there. Can you imagine these memorized songs, the songs of ascent? Let's imagine for a minute that we're one of the Babylonian captives. And so we're in captivity, long way from Jerusalem, but we remember those songs. And can you imagine maybe in our work and maybe in our servitude, like me and you do sometimes, it just comes to our mind. And maybe we start humming a psalm. Maybe we start thinking and singing to ourselves a psalm. Can you imagine being a captive in Babylon and what we're singing about is longing for the hills? And so here we are in Babylon, but our mind is in Jerusalem. Our mind is at the temple, which doesn't even stand anymore. They're singing about it, but they can't get there. And if you and I, if our life is filled with sin, if we have not laid aside these weights that so easily beset us, if we haven't done that, we can sing about higher ground till we lose our voice. But does it make it reality? The goal is to get there. And to get there, sins and habits and associations, they can prevent it from occurring. Can't get to God's hill in the slavery of sin. Look at the third verse of 234. That's what the third verse is saying. Verse 3 talks about Satan hurling his darts at us. All the things down here that's yanking on our chain and trying to get our eyes off of what we're claiming to be desiring. The last verse, or the last section of verse 3, it talks about our faith has caught the joyful sound of saints on higher ground. Reminds me of the song that we sing sometime, I heard the song and longed to join. There's all these darts, there are all these yanks, there are all these things pulling our eyes down, but yet we recognize there's a cloud of witnesses. There's a song of saints on higher ground who have made it, proven that living a faithful life to death is possible, and we don't have to use Hebrews 11. Do you not have people in your own life that you can call by name, that you used to hug and shake hands and visit and worship with? They're part of the cloud of witnesses now. Stayed faithful to death, and now we look at them as examples for ourselves. We know people like this. Third verse. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We're singing about desiring to be near God. Don't let the sin of Babylonian garments pull our eyes down, and don't let us be satisfied with anything below those hills. I want to read a poem to you that I found. Don't know who wrote it. It says, look up and you will find nothing of man. It's all of God. Look up. You will feel how pure God's snow is and think how much is in the promise they will walk with me in white. Look up. You will see how earth clouds are glorified. Look up and listen. Look up and grow strong. Look up, and you will feel heaven breath on your face. Look up. You will soon lose anxieties and cares. Look up, and you will prove how God wipes away tears from every eye. Maybe our problem is we just don't look up like we ought to. Looking up may be exactly what you need. Looking up may be exactly what I need. Because looking down, having our eyes off of the hills, will slowly eat away at us. And it may be that some of you, just when you take an honest assessment of yourself, you are not as strong as you used to be. You don't study like you used to study. And you don't even think about it. You're not the example you used to be. And even your example, maybe it's just for show. You're just a Sunday and Wednesday night, but in life, our eyes are too low to be what we're supposed to be. Now let that happen over time, and it will eat away at your faith. And it'll eat away at your hope. Our Lord did not die so you could walk around saying, I hope I'm saved. Get your eyes up. Jesus didn't give His life so you could walk around thinking, I don't know if I can make it. What are you looking at? Get your eyes up. See what we're supposed to see. See what God's designed for us to see. Jesus died so that we could be saved and that we would live a life of hope. With all these things down here yanking at us, we keep our eyes above. Look at the fourth verse. The conclusion of this. Glory bright. That's not talking about down here. And then the last phrase in verse 4. It says, I'm still here, but I will strive until I get there. That's the point of I will pray until heaven I found. Verse 4 is saying there is a place of glory. There's a place of rest. There is a place of reward. But I'm not there yet. I'm still here, but I'm going to strive and I'm going to fight and I'm going to keep my eyes up until I'm there. That's the song of ascent that we sing so often. Verse number 4. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen to that. Where are your eyes? And what are you looking at? And what are we really doing to look to the hills? What changes are we making to do that? I told Ken that I probably wouldn't preach 45 minutes. That's a long time for me. We've got about 5 minutes or so left. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm through. And so I'm not going to speak and just to try to repeat things. That's useless. But before we break off into our class, just we won't be loud. The other classes are still going. We don't want to disrupt them. Let's bow before we break for a short time. God and Father, we're so thankful to You for all that You do for us. You have been such a loving God. You've shown that through the grace and mercy that You extend to us. You've shown that through the giving of Your Son. You've shown that through the revelation of Your Word that shows us and tells us who You are, what You want, and lets us know how we can serve You and worship You in a proper way. We realize, Father, that we live in a world that does tempt us. We realize that there are weaknesses that we fall to. We pray, Father, You help us to keep our eyes above. Pray You'll help us as we live our life that we will keep looking to You and to the power that You have and to the wonderful way that You've allowed us to be renewed in fellowship with You. Help us to not be so caught up in physical things. Help us to not be so drawn to them that we let them take us away from You. Help our faith not to struggle. Help us not to waver. Help us to be before others what we should. Pray you continue to be with us through the remainder of this service, through the remainder of this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.